Hi. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He's for you. He's not against you. Oh, that you would bless me, God Almighty. And the substance of this prayer, like, why did they put that O in there? That O, that you would bless me. Why didn't he just say, bless me? Because it's like with his heart. It's with passion. It's not just methodically, bless me, Lord. Bless grandma, bless grandpa. Give us a good night's sleep. Amen. You know, anybody pray that? I pray that all the time. But it's okay to cry out to God and be like, oh, God, that you would bless me. And whatever God blesses shall be blessed. It's not a surface type thing. God will really bless. Bless me indeed. Is that selfish? Is that selfish? No, not if you're praying it in the right way. It's like a, it kind of is like selfish. Like, is it okay to be jealous? No, but God's a jealous God. Like, it is okay to be jealous in some ways, like if it's really justified, right? But it's not okay to be jealous like that, like bad jealousy. Same thing with wanting God's blessing. It's not okay to be like, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want it so I can have it for me and heck with everybody else. It's not okay to be like that. But to bless, to ask for God's blessing in the right way, this type of, like, I want it, it's okay. It's okay. And so maybe after the prayer of help, or maybe at the same time as the prayer of help, we should be praying this prayer. And, you know, it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, like, maybe we're like, help, God, help me not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help me not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help me not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help me not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Maybe we need to just add this to the prayer. Bless me, God. Show me your glory. Expand your territory. I want to walk with you. And as we walk with God, we forget about the other stuff. That's what it says. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And enlarge my territory that your hand would be with me. So I believe this is influence, not just land. And obviously for New Testament believers, it's not land, right? Because we're not inheriting Israel's land. This is influence with God, and it's a spiritual territory. Like, let people hear of your great name through my life, my work, my actions. But not necessarily let people hear of me through my life, my work, my actions. You know, you could be a very quiet believer and have an expanded territory and nobody knows who you are. Right? But let people hear of your great name through my life, my work, my actions, and my doings. It speaks of evangelism in New Testament terms. It speaks of spiritual warfare over territory. It speaks of fruit, a great inheritance. And we can ask for more. And it's not like some positive thinking lecture either. It's like God wants to bless us. It comes from God. And it helps us to go beyond our sight. People say, your own parents call you pain. Okay, the odds are against you. God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Pray bold prayers in spite of what the circumstances like are like, what people call you and how they look at you. And so, like, we need to ask, right? We need to ask God. We need to pray these prayers. We ask them. James 4, 2 to 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Well, maybe you don't have because you're not asking. See, I don't have anything. Well, maybe you're not asking. Maybe you're asking for the wrong things. Maybe you're asking because you're, like, selfish in a bad way. And because it says right here, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Has anybody ever caught themselves praying a stupid prayer? Like, actually, Lord, give me something that I know you don't want me to have. Like, I want some more, Lord, just one more piece of chocolate cake or whatever, you know. Like, one more, like, something like, He doesn't want me to have, and I'm praying for it. That's just like talking to yourself. That's not even asking God. That's just like some name it and claim it, just talking to yourself. Catch yourself when you do that. If you're asking for something, God, you know God doesn't want you to have, just stop and say, that's a lie. I'm not praying that. I want to pray what God wants. It says you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So don't pray in your flesh. You know that? You can pray in your flesh. Like Abraham tried to do God's will in his flesh, right? Like with Hagar. And Sarah was all into it too. She was the mastermind. Like, what's going on? We look at that and say, I'd never be like that. But we all are. We're all like that. Like, just tell yourself, knock it off. Like, walk, think with God. So 1 Kings 3:9-12, Solomon asked for wisdom and discernment to judge the people in a righteous way. Because he cared about the people, right? And then it says, God, because you have asked these things and have not asked for long life for yourself. Is it okay to ask for long life? I think it's okay. But like, that's not our focus. Our focus is on what God wants. If I die tomorrow, I die tomorrow. Oh, well. You know, like, I'm ready to go. That should be our mindset. Not, oh, God, please help me live a long life. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, God, help me with retirement. Help me with retirement. Oh, it's all focused on me. And it's nothing wrong with praying for retirement and praying for wisdom and praying for long life. But to be so focused on that, that you're not worried about the things of God more than that, there's something wrong with that. We need to be worried about the things of God. And this old saying, if the good Lord wills and the creek don't rise. Well, I don't care if the creek rises. If the good Lord wills, then it'll be done. You know, in my life, that's going to be my will. So who would say, I don't want to be a missionary in Indonesia, like the most fierce Muslim area in the world. I don't want to do that. You know, like everybody might say, I don't want to do that. But our prayer should actually be like, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. I don't want to do it, but if you want me to do it, Lord, okay. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, but he wanted God's will more, right? In his humanity, he didn't want pain. You know, we don't want pain, but we want God's will more. So we want God's will more. And so Solomon, it says, because you haven't asked for riches for yourself, nor the life of your enemies or long life, he gave it and said, there will not be anyone like Solomon before or after. And he had riches and he had peace. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Let's be delighted with God. He is our God. He loves us so much. He's God Almighty. He's in control. He's got us. And what can man do to me? If we die, we go to heaven. Like, it's going to be so great. And like, just be delighted. Be delighted with God. Whatever you want, God. Like, I delight in you so much. Whatever you want. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He'll give it to you. Ask for a bigger piece of the spiritual pie. Not the spiritually selfish pie in a bad way, but the bigger piece of the spiritual pie that you may walk with God and be a bigger blessing and a bigger reward. And but I'm scared of responsibility. I don't like that. I don't want to commit to that. Because then if I do that, then I'm going to have to die. You know, I'm going to have to come, like, I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. Thursday night, I didn't want to come to church. I told some people that. I didn't want to come to church. It's like, if I wasn't leading this, I wouldn't go. You know, but I'm leading it, so I have to go. You know, I was very tempted to just cancel it, you know. I don't want to go, but I have to die. I have to die. It was one of the best services ever. So actually, you pray for the blessing, God will give you the capacity, and the blessing will come. And it doesn't seem like I have the capacity. I'm so weak. I don't have the capacity. He does. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Enlarge my territory. Please, Lord, give me more ministry. Who's praying that? Give me more ministry. oh, I got enough ministry. I don't want, and there's nothing wrong with like watching your schedule and not like overdoing it. You could like volunteer for everything and not be serious about anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more ministry. And it's like, give me somebody to love. Uh-oh. If I love them, then I might have to die. You know? Because sometimes, you know, you got to do that to love people. Send me someone who needs you so I can love them. And don't draw back from the blessing. Press into the blessing. Don't draw, like, Jacob, I'm going to wrestle. And it hurt him. It hurt his hip. But he wants the blessing anyway. Hebrews 10:38. Oh, there's delight yourself in the Lord. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. This is a theme in the Bible. I think it's four times. Habakkuk and then Hebrews is faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans is the just shall live by faith. And I think Galatians is the just shall live by faith. But the just shall live by faith. We have to live by faith. Let's not draw back. Like, just because our circumstances, like, we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't like it in our flesh, we press in anyway. We walk with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And our God specializes in working with normal people. Well, I'll even take it down a notch further. Subnormal people. Weak people. Frail people. You know, David's mighty men were like in debt. They were crazy and distraught and depressed. These were David's mighty men. And God used them. God lifted them up and used them in this war. In the war, like in the Old Testament, what are we warring in the New Testament? Ephesians 6. It's principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places, right? It's demons. So these mighty men who were distressed and depressed in the Old Testament, they rose up and were great warriors. Because they when they came out of it, they had nothing to lose. And the ones in debt too, they had nothing to lose. I don't care. I'm walking with God because I ain't got nothing back there. My world, the flesh, and the devil has nothing for me, and I know that. I'm going with God. And so God used them mightily. So God uses normal and weak people and subnormal people. And my willingness and my weakness and my humility and brokenness plus God's will and God's supernatural power will equal an expanded territory. And your hand be with me and keep me from evil. Is our focus on the negative? No. Is our focus on that we can come under attack? Satan can sift even Peter. But Jesus prayed, right? The body needs to be praying. But that's not our focus. Is our focus sin? No. But it's real. And in humility, there's two sides to this issue. One, it's a non-issue because we stand in victory in Christ through faith. It's not an issue. Sin's not an issue. The devil's not an issue. Like, we have victory. The blood that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have victory. But we're not ignorant to Satan's devices. And we take heed lest we fall. Right? We take heed because we're weak. And even the Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us, right? And so there is an evil and we need deliverance continually. And that I may not cause pain. His name was Pain. He didn't want to live in that. Sin is not your identity, right? Pain is not your identity. He wanted to be a blessing, not a pain. That should be our desire, to be a blessing. Say to yourself, you do not want to be a pain. Say, self, you do not want to be a pain. You want to be a blessing. Right? Isaiah 6:8, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Like, who would say that? Did Isaiah? Isaiah wanted the blessing. It was an honor. He wasn't familiar with God's message, even though they didn't receive it. It was God's message. The world is not our home. We're ambassadors. Ephesians 6 is talking about the armor of God, spiritual warfare, and Paul says, I'm an ambassador in chains. In the armor of God, there's nothing on their back. It's all in the front. They're moving forward, and they're wrestling with demons after they put on the full armor of God. They put it on to wrestle with the demons. And then Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the prayer is so important, right? In the spiritual warfare, the prayer is so important. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So there is a yoke. He has chosen not to do it alone. He could just be like, poof, demons are gone, boom. Right? But he chose this battle and not to do it alone. He chose to like fight with us. But we have to take his yoke on. And prayer is a work. You know, he says, my work is easy, my burden is light. Like, anybody ever really get serious in prayer? And like sometimes it just flows and it's so easy. But sometimes to go there, like Satan don't want you to go there. Like it's a work to pray. Prayer's a work. And it's like we need to be yoked to him because we're part of this work that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. And we just enter into it. We enter into it through prayer. John 6, 28 to 29. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? So prayer's a work of God, right? Well, what should we do? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. The primary work of God, well, all the work of God is what Jesus did on the cross, right? Because he said it is finished. And we rest in his work. But as we enter into the work, we're trusting him. That's what faith is. You know, we don't see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust him. And it's his work, and we're yoked to him. And we can try to work without him. Anybody ever do that? Everybody raise your hand. You know you do all the time. We can try to work without him, you know, but there's no rest. There's no peace. There's faith in ourselves. I can do it. I can pray hard, you know. And it's not his work. Maybe Hagar and Ishmael's work, but it's not his work. And the same with salvation. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You ever heard of that? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. They have their own self-righteousness, their own work, that they think they're good enough. But we have to be wary of that too. So let's not try to expand our territory in our flesh. Because we don't want that territory. We don't want Ishmael. You know, we don't want a fleshly territory. But Jabez appears for a moment in the Bible. He's very significant. He had a prayer, and then he doesn't ever show up again. And here's a guy. I love this guy. I don't know why I like this name. Shamgar. He's another one. He just, poof, there he is, and poof, he's gone. So Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines. The Philistines represents the flesh, by the way. He killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. So those of you who like to read Judges, read it. It's fun read. It's got Samson and Delilah and Gideon and Deborah and all kinds of cool stories in it. But what would happen is the Israelites would get in a serious sin. They would get in a serious sin, and then they would be in bondage. The enemies would put them as slaves and attack them and steal their stuff. And then they'd cry out to God. And God would deliver them. And God used Shamgar. He'd raise up a deliverer. And Shamgar was one of these guys. Pretty cool. And poof, there he is, and then he's gone. Shamgar. Kind of like Jabez. There he is, and there he's gone. But we can learn something from that. Like, what do we learn from this? It's like not... Who said that? Was it... Jonathan, it's not how many are with us. There's more with us than with them, but God can save by many or by few, right? That phrase. God can save by many or by few. So God can save by one, by Shamgar. And one guy has a prayer in the Bible, and another guy, and they both make it in the Bible. And so Have you ever heard the expression prayer warrior? Like prayer warrior. Like that's the Old Testament, this guy's a warrior, right? In the New Testament, the warriors are battling. We don't battle against flesh and blood, right? We battle against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's our battle. And then we put on the armor of God and we pray. So that's a prayer warrior. That's a prayer warrior. You're battling through prayer. And you're like Shamgar. When you pray, you can be like Shamgar. And as a church, we can't be lukewarm. As a church, we need to pray. And I pray that God will give us influence in larger territory, influence over Culpeper, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Why not have a big vision? Can't we have influence over all of Culpeper County? Not just the people that come here? Like, let's influence the whole spiritual. You know what's going on in the schools right now? Like, there is addictions like you wouldn't believe. Drugs, pornography, sexual perversions, witchcraft. Like, there are stuff that is affecting Culpeper County. That's just in the schools. And they take it home, too. And then in the homes, there's all kinds of stuff. And, like, can't God give us Culpeper County? Can't God give us Judea and Samaria? Like, have an influence in Fredericksburg and Orange and Manassas or other places? Can't we have an influence? How about the ends of the world? Like, yes, we pray. There's a prayer thing out there for Asia. Like, we pray and we give and we influence them, right? But we're asking for bigger. We want a bigger piece of the territory. And we can't see it. Like, just because we have a prayer map and we give, we can't see people's hearts. We don't know what's really influence we have because it's a supernatural influence. And so, like, we want to have this influence, but we can it be possible that we not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, because there's a command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's like a continuing in the grammar. I'm not a grammar guy, but I've been told it's a continuing command. Like, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And can we be mediocre, lukewarm? Yes. Do we want to be that? No. No, we don't want to be that. And we have a simple vision. Well, yeah. Yeah, I have a vision, and the elders are in agreement with this vision. And then some other churches have come on with this vision, and it's to pray for Culpeper this year. Pray for every street in Culpeper this year, and everybody that's possible to walk the street and pray for them. And if that's not possible, then maybe people could drive those walkers, because a lot of streets, like, they end and then you got to walk back. So you could pick them up at the end and then take them to another street. Or maybe if you have the capacity, go out in your car, pray for a little bit, go to the next intersection, pray for a little bit, go to the next intersection, pray for a little bit. And if you don't have that capacity, get a map and a highlighter, pray. But let's spend some time on each street, like, pray for a street. And we want to pray for every house and every street in Culpeper. And like, I was thinking too, I just thought this morning, like, we've got all these groups, the men's breakfast, the singles group, the women's Bible study, our Thursday night group. We can each pray for one or two streets each time we gather. And, like, little by little, things add up, right? You know, you ever notice that? If you want to read the Bible, if nobody's ever read the whole Bible, you just do it little by little. You just keep at it, right? And it'll do it. And so this is a very simple vision. And so we, God worked it out where we broke the county into sections, and other churches volunteered for all but one section in the county. And so we're take the other section. And we've had a couple other churches that say they're really charismatically enthusiastic, but never got back to me on which section they wanted. But then another one, there was this one church in this area, and I felt like this area was for that church. There were two other churches in this area, and they picked different areas. And this church never responded to me. I was like, okay, God, it's in your hands. You know, you're going to have to do it. And they responded and said, we want this. And it's the biggest, most streets, you know. And it was just amazing. It was just confirmation. Like, God's in it. And God's in prayer, like real prayer by faith, you know. So I'll show you the map. So this is the map. So these are the sections. This is probably the biggest section right here, the most houses in that section. And we're left with the smallest section, I think. It's spread out. There's lots of streets on this section. But it's Route 3, Route 29, out to Richardsville, all in there. And so I think it's going to be hard, a lot of windy little back roads. But I know we have some hikers in this group that could do long hikes on those roads with some orange vest, of course. Maybe we could drive behind them with flashers like they do when people bicycle. And then the other section is, let's see, we broke this up into a couple. Section 2 and Section 5. So it's like on the east side of Main Street, and then up here, and then Route 3, that part of town. So it's not really a whole lot of houses there. And then this part is just some little stragglers here to the west of 229, over near the Christian school, those little streets there. And then there's just a couple streets like Yale Middle Elementary School and stuff like that. So the town should be pretty easy. And actually, I think we got the smallest section in the whole map as far as the amount of miles on the roads. Not volume wise, but anyway, there's a map out there that I cut some of the ads off of. They have them free at the Chamber of Commerce, and so unless somebody has a better spot, I'll just leave it on that big table in there. And whenever people meet, just put it to the side and then put it back on the table. And so what I'd like to do is anybody who wants to go with me, let me know, and then we can go out. And then if you want to take other groups out, go by yourself. Or start a little prayer meeting or something. But anyway, just as you pray, just highlight the street you pray for. And if anybody has any better ideas. So that's a good vision for this year, to expand our territory and our influence. And also, maybe we'll talk about this another Sunday, but we can brainstorm on what to pray for, right? Like, what do we need to pray for? And I talked about a few of the things, but there's lots of things we can pray for. Sometimes when you pray for something, like a street, and another street, you get in a rut of praying exactly the same thing, and it can be methodical. But other people bring in fresh ideas and fresh vision for the county and the town. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. So politics aren't going to bring a revival. I don't know if anybody's aware of that. Politics won't bring a revival. And seek first the kingdom of God. And when we ask, let's be prepared for God's answer, God's way. That's the other thing. Sometimes we ask, and then when God answers, we're like, I don't like that answer. I was thinking this. Sow to the Spirit, and then reap in his time. You know, sometimes you sow, it's a tree, a standard apple tree will take 10 years to produce, and a dwarf will take 3 or something. You know, different seeds take different times, but we're going to sow seeds. And it says that if we sow, we go forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, we will doubtless come again with rejoicing. And so there is fruit. There's fruit. And God will give us love for people. And then the other concept is, let's redeem the time. How much time did I waste? How much time did you waste last year not praying? You know, like we how many people on their deathbed said, man, I wish I hadn't prayed so much. You know, like, I wish I hadn't done that for God. You know, like, nobody. Like, let's redeem the time, for the days are evil. So, like, wasted time, you can redeem it. You can buy it back. God restores the years that the locusts have taken. We worship you this morning, Lord. You're holy. You're awesome. You're all we need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our God. We just ask you this morning to bless us, Lord, as a church. Just bless this church, Lord. Please bless this church. We need you. We can do nothing without you, Lord. We need you here, Lord. Just bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give us the heart or the mindset or the prayer that made Jabez more honorable than his brothers, Lord. Give us a heart after you, a heart that when we pray, we want your will. We want what you want. We enter in with you. We pray in the Spirit. We groan for what we don't even know that needs prayer for, Lord. We don't even know half the things that need prayer for, Lord, but we enter in with you and your thoughts on it, Lord. Just touch people, move in people's lives. Just expand their minds to think higher thoughts and our ways to be higher ways, because your thoughts are higher than ours, Lord. Your ways are higher than ours, Lord. We can't even begin to think with you apart from you, Lord. We want to think with you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We love you this morning. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for Anna. We thank you for answering our prayer. We see a glimpse. We see movement, Lord. We see trees dimly, men walking like trees. We can see it, Lord. And we just pray for Anna that you'll just work in her heart, draw her to you, and pray that you'll reconcile her with the rest of the family. And we just pray for the whole family, that just draw them all to you, and that it'll be complete unity, Lord. And just bless the Myers, Lord. We pray for Nick. We don't know what's going on in Nick's life, but you do, Lord. We pray that you'll just bring him to you, Lord. Bring him to you. Just show him your amazing love. Show him your power. Show him your glory. Just open up his mind. Open up his eyes. Cause the scales to fall off his eyes and for him to see you for who you are. Give him a revelation of you. Give him a godly fear and a respect that he'll come to you, Lord. And help us all to be that way. Help us not to be familiar with you, Lord, or with each other as other believers, Lord. Help us to love each other and encourage each other and build each other and give us sensitivity. Give us discernment how to pray for each other. And also give us wisdom and discernment what to pray for this county this year and all the other churches that are involved in this, Lord, that we would see your glory in Culpeper this year, that you'll do amazing things in Culpeper this year, that you would move by your Spirit. You would kick demons out that have strongholds here for centuries, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just worship you. We praise your holy name. We pray that you'll send big and mighty angels to do battle for us, Lord. Just kick out the demonic influence. Break down the walls. We pray for people to turn to you, a revival, a confession of sin, and a realization of how holy you are, and the joy that brings with it to come to you, that they'll come to you, like really come to you, and it'll be real, not just surface things going on, not just programs and games, but like people really who want to know you, Lord, that you would bring a change in this county, Lord, a change in the atmosphere. In Jesus' name, amen.